You are listening to the Julie Parker Practice Success Podcast, where you discover management insights and strategies for a successful dental practice. There are also interviews with key people in the industry who have advice and services to help you and your team achieve great success. Welcome to this episode of the Julie Parker Practice Success Podcast and another guest appearance by our resident legal advisors, Burke & Associates lawyers, and we have solicitor and associate of that law firm, Stuart Davis, joining us. Welcome, Stuart.
Thank you so much, Julie. Absolute pleasure to have me on and to speak about this particular topic of interest.
It is an interesting topic, particularly for the residents of Victoria. So this is an additional episode that's going to be going out because it is really just pertinent to a local area of Victoria. And it involves the rent relief scheme for, mainly we're going to be talking about the business side of the rent relief scheme, but it is a little bit broader than that. Tell us a bit more about it, Stuart.
Yes. So the commercial tenancy rent relief scheme is an interesting scheme and set of regulations. It was initially set out in 2020 to essentially deal with the fact that lockdowns were impacting trading to such a degree and that tenants couldn't afford to pay their rent. And generally under a commercial lease or a retail lease, and there's a distinct difference between those two that I may go into, obviously a tenant has to pay their rent, and if they don't pay their rent, a landlord has a right, a legal right under that lease to reclaim that premises and to sue the tenant for loss and damage. So what these regulations did through 2020 and then now that have been updated in 2021 is it gave the tenant an option to apply to the landlord for rent relief over that period. And the concept around the rent relief was the fact that we help out these tenants over a certain number of months, and then the tenants will be back on their feet when things open up and they can continue to trade as normal. So it was kind of a band-aid solution by the state government to allow tenants to survive this unprecedented lockdown. First time in Victorian history we've had lockdowns like this. And it was largely successful in my view over 2020 because it gave tenants the opportunity to survive. The rent relief regulations are quite straightforward on how they work. Essentially, it matches the downturn in your turnover. So, for instance, if you were renting a premises for, say, a dental practice or any other business that you may be running and you experience, say, a 40% downturn in your turnover, what you can do is if you are an eligible tenant and under an eligible lease, and I'll go into that a little bit later, you can apply to your landlord for a rent reduction based on that downturn in your turnover.
That reduction in the rent, that is a permanent reduction. You don't have to then make up that additional rent payment later on down the track?
Yeah, great question. Great question, Julie. So 50% of that reduction must be in the form of a waiver. So that means that you do not have to pay it back at all. It's just wiped off the slate completely. Now, 50%, so the other half of that, is a deferral, meaning it does need to be paid back. Now, the scheme makes arrangements for this. Essentially, it says that it needs to be paid back in installments over 2 years or the balance of the lease, whatever is more favorable for the tenant. So essentially you don't have to pay 40%. Say, for instance, we're using example of 40%. You don't have to pay that initially during this terrible lockdown time that the business is suffering. You don't have to pay any of that 40%. It's wiped off the books, but you will have to pay 20% of that back after the regulations come to an end. So these new regulations come to an end on the 15th of January of next year.
The challenges just seem to be coming thick and fast for small business, and it's such an enormously challenging time. And I must say, I think, you know, you and I are united in our thoughts go out to all of them that have tried to navigate through this space. And none of us realised it was going to be going on for this long, this length of time. Has there been real fundamental shift and change between the rent relief scheme that was introduced in 2020 to it being updated in 2021?
Yes, there actually has been some substantial changes in relation to that, particularly around evidence. There was evidentiary requirements last year to basically substantiate the fact that you have had a reduction in your turnover over a specific period, but it wasn't as well prescribed. This year, it's much more well. It's set out in a much more subscribed manner, and essentially, tenants have the obligation to set out that evidence to their landlord within 14 days of them making an application. And if they don't do that within that 14 days, then their rent relief application lapses and they'll need to submit a new one. So it's very important that if tenants, if you are renting and you do want to claim under these regulations, you make sure you get professional assistance in relation to it. And also that you get that evidence of your financial circumstances as well to submit. And that's where an accountant can really help. I know a lot of business owners have a really good accountant, and this is another way that accountants and lawyers can work with you to get that outcome. And I really recommend that you don't try to do it yourself, because the regulations are quite complicated, and you do engage an accountant to make sure that the documents you submit as part of your application comply with the Act and the regulations.
That's been one of the challenges as well. There's been so many schemes put in place to counter the impact of lockdown. And I've seen on some of the Facebook forums, small business forums, the frustration of I applied, I waited months, and then it worked out that I didn't apply properly. And it is a complicated space. And I imagine business viability for many small businesses isn't that where it can sustain months and months of not getting the kind of funds that you could get through these sort of rent relief schemes. And so getting that initial application right is just so important. Is it retrospective as well? So if you get it wrong the first time, the second time that you submit it, do you get the rent relief retrospectively to the length of the lockdown? It's from when you are approved.
It's from when you're approved. There was a scope for getting an application in by September, by the end of September, which is now lapsed, of course. But look, it applies from when you make your application. So say you make your application tomorrow, being the 7th. Your rent relief will apply from then, provided that you give your evidence within 14 days. So it's so critical to make sure that evidence is submitted within those 14 days. Otherwise, you risk having to start again and losing out on those 2 weeks. Look, in terms of how you do this, because the regulations have changed and because there is so much at stake, I do really recommend that you engage a lawyer to prepare an application on your behalf, because this could be thousands of dollars that you could potentially miss out on if your application is deficient in any way or is missing some element. So that's what I do recommend. And also, of course, engaging an accountant to make sure that accounting side of it is done. But look, I do share your frustrations, your understanding that it could be very frustrating for a business owner trying to navigate this scheme and trying to do the right thing and trying to essentially go to the landlord in good faith and ask for a rent reduction. And look, at the same time, I act for landlords as well, and they're frustrated because they want to do the right thing by their tenants. But at the same time, they're trying to operate their own business. So they say, well, look, we'll give you rent relief in line with the regulations, but you've got to give us the evidence so everything's fair. So I have, unfortunately, Julian, if I may, I'll go into a little bit of a case example for you. Quite a sad circumstance. It was one where I was acting for the landlord, and the tenant erroneously thought that they didn't have to pay any rent last year and that they would just they were just entitled to not pay rent during the whole of 2020. And I wrote to them on lots of occasions, and I called them, and I did everything I could to convince them that, no, that's not how this works. You are entitled to rent relief, but you need to do certain elements. Unfortunately, they didn't listen to that. The regulations finished last year. The 2020 version finished in March last year, this year. And the landlord had exhausted all its options. The tenant wasn't listening. And I was instructed to reclaim the premises. And it's devastating for the tenant. And all of this could have been avoided if they'd just gotten legal advice from the start to actually know what obligations they had under this, under their lease, and to know how to actually access this scheme properly.
I think that's it. It's just heartbreaking for all involved, because the landlord is, quite often they've got a loan out on their property, and so they are dealing with the banks who, they will only have very limited relief over, and possibly no relief, it's probably just deferral of repayments as well. So everyone is bound to their own contractual obligations wherever they may lie. Terrible to have to force a tenant out, and where it could have been avoided, that's absolutely heartbreaking. And we've cast our mind back to the start of 2020. You'd be forgiven to think, I'll muddle through all these grants and this and that and the regulations for the next few weeks or couple of months, this will take. But here we are, October the 6th in 2021, and we have been in lockdown the longest in any other part of the whole world. So who knew how long it was going to go on for, and how complex it was going to get. And when the goalposts continually change, I think never before, even from an employment perspective with these mandated vaccines, never before has it been so crucial for small business to tap into a legal resource.
Oh, I share that view entirely, Julie. Lawyers do make things easier through the business process, absolutely. And I've got considerable expertise dealing with these kinds of regulations, schemes, relief, all those types of things. This is something that you can get some real value from a lawyer in. It's different now, though, because the stakes are a lot higher. There's a lot of businesses that I've dealt with that have had minimal involvement with lawyers and still run very, very successful businesses. But when it comes to these specific rent relief schemes, it's really important to get a really good lawyer that can help you achieve outcomes that you need from these rent relief schemes. And I mean, there could be listeners out there as well that are landlords. And the same thing applies. If you've got a tenant that you have a dispute, the tenant says one thing, you say another, and there's no lawyers involved, it's very difficult to reach a resolution, because neither have the due knowledge, skill and experience to actually know whether something is or isn't relevant, and something is or doesn't comply with the Act and the regulations. So even if you are a landlord and a tenant is writing to you for rent relief, engaging a lawyer to look through the tenant's application and give you advice would also be a very valuable thing to do.
For sure. Now, you were mentioning that the close-off date was the end of September. We're now a week later, but people can still apply for rent relief?
That's right. So the close-off, so essentially the scheme started in, I think, the 28th of July. So you could claim from the 28th of July to September, the end of September. And if you claimed any time previous to that, then the rent relief started on the 28th of July. But now we're past the 30th, it's the scheme will start for you when you make your compliant application.
Okay. So if they're out there, people are out there and they've been just trying to, tap into savings and all the rest of it to get to this point, but they reached a point of no return, they can still apply and be eligible for rent relief from the point that they apply. Yeah.
Yeah. If they apply tomorrow, then they'll be eligible from tomorrow, as long as they set, they put an eligible application in and they give their evidence 14 days after their application.
Right. And the evidence that you're talking about, I imagine it's just your financial statements, your profit and loss, et cetera. Yeah.
Yes. Now, what happened last year was that you had lawyers scratching their heads because lawyers generally are good with words and legislation, not so much on the accounting side of things. So what I always instructed the tenants that I was assisting, and also when I was acting for landlords and tenants were making applications, is we would write to them and say, look, go to your accountant, get your accountant to prepare correspondence setting out the downturn over a specific period. So, for instance, if your downturn was, say, 40% and you submit an application that's got 10 pages of financials, then a landlord, that's not easy for a landlord to decipher and determine whether it is or isn't a 40% reduction. But if you submitted your financials with a letter from your accountant, and remember, accountants are under stringent regulations as well as lawyers. So in terms of trusting them, there's a high degree of trust in accounting and the accounting profession. So if a letter accompanied that information that said, the tenant's downturn over this particular period is 40%, that's a lot easier for the landlord to grant rent relief because they're more certain that the figures are correct. And it's just that's what I've been advising, and it's worked quite well. And if tenants are and landlords are out there and hear this, it is a better way of doing it than just submitting financials after financials. And it can be overwhelming for a landlord, particularly if the landlord isn't represented by a lawyer, for them to try and deal with this and actually give rent relief in line with the regulations.
It's about, let me make it as easy as possible for this landlord to give me that rent relief. So let's make sure that the trust is a given, because it's an accountant doing it, and the accountant can do it in as concise number of reporting as possible.
That's it. And look, on one other point, I had a mentor that worked with me and was my mentor years ago. And he always said that when he was explaining leasing to me, he said that a lease is like a marriage. You should try and work through issues with your tenant or work through issues with your landlord as best as you can. It's not always going to be smooth sailing, but because of the relationship between the two parties, that it's a constant ongoing, sometimes it can be a 20-year relationship. It's good to work through those issues, because before you know it, the economy is going to boom. Paying back rent is not going to be an issue. Paying back the deferred rent is also not going to be an issue for these tenants that have run successful businesses for decades. So it's about giving a little and knowing that that relationship will prosper in the future if it has in the past, and to just get through it, because as everyone knows, engaging lawyers to run disputes is very expensive, and engaging an estate agent to either find you a new premises if you're a tenant, or relocating if you're a tenant, or if you're a landlord to strip back your tenancy and try and get a new tenant in, are not things that are profitable, cause a lot of money. If you can compromise a little bit during this rent relief stage, then you really will benefit in the future.
That's a really good point, because we can be forgiven of thinking that it's just all business. But yeah, you're right. These sort of contractual arrangements that we have with stakeholders within our business, they are relationships. And that relationship can be one that is, especially during this current period of time, let's do whatever we can to help each other through it rather than be enemies throughout. And when you're talking about a marriage breakdown, it can be absolutely damaging on so many relationships, and you can develop quite strong resentment, never be able to speak to each other again, even though you once loved each other. Or you can move through, rather than just focusing on your own pains and the impact, the negative impact it's all having on you, recognize the other side is going through similar situations. And if you have the intention, if you both go in with the intention of acknowledging each other's pains and trying to work to resolution and happiness and have some kind of relationship at the end of it, because unlike a marriage breakdown, you don't have to speak to each other again unless you've got children.
Yes.
With a rental arrangement, ideally, you want to get through this difficult period and have your relationship with your landlord or your tenant to be stronger because of it. You've got a deeper level of respect for each other, because you do need to have a relationship moving beyond this if you can stay in business.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. If you can get through it with giving that rent reduction to your tenant, or if you can work with your landlord to give them that, it will repay dividends in the future. There's no question there. You don't want to engage in a dispute if you can avoid it. And you certainly don't want to be involved with what I'm currently dealing with now, which is essentially having to issue proceedings against the tenant for failing to pay rent at all and not providing proper advice and having to kick them out and suing them, all those sorts of things. It's not good for anyone. And so, look, if it can be avoided, it should really be avoided.
Nice. There's certainly enough reason to become stressed in this environment. As it is, we don't want to add more reasons to create that kind of anger in our environment. You were mentioning there was a difference between a commercial tenancy lease and retail lease.
Yes, that's right. For the provisions of the regulations that we're dealing with, they are quite similar. But as an aside, your listeners might be interested to know this. One of the main differences between the two is that for a commercial lease, land tax can be claimed by the landlord. For a retail lease, it can't be. So most of your listeners, I can imagine, have a retail lease. So look, if you're going through disbursements and the landlord's asked you to reimburse them for land tax, it's a red flag, and maybe you should contact the lawyer and say, "Hey, is my tenancy a retail lease?" And if they are, and if the lawyer determines that it is, then that land tax that the landlord's attempted to obtain from you is not payable by you. So it certainly is something to consider. But look, in terms of the eligibility, I just thought I would run through the eligibility for the scheme as well, just so your listeners know what it is. So you need to have an eligible lease. So it says here, essentially, it needs to be in effect from the 28th of July 2021, which is most of you, and is not subject to any exclusions. Now, most of the exclusions involve agricultural leases, so unlikely to be your listed, any of your listeners. And you also need to be an eligible tenant. Now, what is an eligible tenant, you might ask? So an eligible tenant is a small to medium-sized enterprise. And so how they define this is if your turnover is less than $50 million in the financial year.
I think we're safe to say that most dental practices are within that. I think they'd like to be over $50 million.
That would be lovely. That would be lovely. So, look, I would think the vast, vast, vast majority of your listeners would be eligible. And the second point is have, as of the 28th of July, carried on a business, pretty standard things, not subject to exemptions. So, for instance, if they've gone into liquidation, for instance, you won't be able to access the scheme. And lastly, they need to satisfy the decline in turnover test. And we discussed the decline in turnover test previously, but essentially, it's a decline of at least 30% over a relevant period. So for the vast majority of listeners, what will happen is they'll compare your turnover from 2019 for 3 months, and then they'll make that same comparison to 2021. And if that turnover has reduced by more than 30%, then you have satisfied that decline in turnover test.
And that three-month period, is that determined by the tenant, or is there a set three-month period that you must use?
So there's a set three-month period, and this is where it gets quite complicated, and there's alternative tests here. There's a handy table. I'm not sure you might be able to distribute some relevant links, Julie, after this podcast for your listeners.
Wonderful.
It's a little bit convoluted to explain over Zoom, but there's various dates that you need to apply. But what the general principle is it's 3 months in 2019. I think it's early in the year, so it might be April, May, and June, and then the same for this year as well. and has provided that that 30% turnover is reduced by 30% or more, then you have considered to be satisfied the decline in turnover test. Now, in terms of making an application, if I may, that I've spoke about it briefly before, but essentially your applications need to be in writing. It's got to make certain statements, essentially that you are an eligible tenant and that you satisfy the decline in turnover test and you set up that information. And lastly, that you will provide evidence within 14 days. Another very important distinction between this year and last year is the fact that a statutory declaration is also required as part of your application. So Victorian Small Business Commissioner has some very good information about what needs to be included in that statutory declaration. But just note that a statutory declaration needs to be signed in front of an eligible person. So it needs to be signed in front of someone such as a solicitor, such as a pharmacist, a doctor, a police officer. So just bear that in mind, that it's just not something that can be witnessed by anyone. It needs to be witnessed by an eligible person, and to keep that in mind when you're filling in that application.
And when, if a tenant has been, I imagine this has happened, a tenant has gone to their landlord saying, I want to apply for rent relief, and that landlord says, nah, bad luck, I'm not going to be partaking in that. Are landlords compelled to consider these kind of applications and afford that tenant the rent relief if they are eligible?
That's right. They do. This is an act of parliament that's been passed. It's the law, and there's also the regulations as well. And it's not like they can choose to abide by the law or not. They must. So if the tenant satisfies the rent relief provisions, then a landlord must provide rent relief. This is not something up for negotiation. It's essentially that rent relief must be provided, which I think it's a very sensible solution in all things, considering all things and the current environment the tenants are trying to trade in at the present. So look, take that into consideration. Another thing you can do is, if you're not getting anywhere, you can refer the matter to the Small Business Commission for mediation. They run a very good mediation service, and they run it in a way that you don't need to be represented by a lawyer. So that's really good. If you're not going down the path of engaging a lawyer, they can do mediation for you between landlord and tenant, and the costs are quite reasonable. I think it's about $200 each or something. So a good cost-saving way of doing it. And the advantage is that these mediators are well across the regulation. So if the landlord goes, oh, well, I don't have to pay, the mediator will say, yes, you do. And you'll be in breach of, say, Regulation 7 or whatever, wherever it is, if they try to say that it doesn't apply to them.
So this current updated version, 2021 version of the rent relief scheme, does it have a close-off date? Is it open-ended at the moment?
Yeah. So essentially it's, if you make an application, say, from today right up to, I don't know, January even, you get rent relief from when you apply to when the matter is finalised, which is when the regulations are finalised, rather, which is the 15th of January 2022. So say you apply from tomorrow and you satisfy the requirements, you get rent relief, you get that relief right up until the 15th of January 2022.
Regardless of whether lockdown, for example, by some miracle, lifted tomorrow, that's how long the rent goes on for?
Yeah. So once you satisfy the requirements, you are entitled to that rent relief, which is great. So, I mean, if you are eligible, then I recommend you do apply, because it will certainly help you and your business get through this really tough time.
And so it's not dependent on being locked down or not?
No, it's not. The scheme is set to start. It's already started, obviously, and it's set to run until the 15th of January 2022. It's not based on the lockdown and things of that nature. But remember, on that basis, it's certainly good to apply.
And it's, you know, the waiver, the 50% waiver amount is wonderful and generous and needed. The deferral amount, that's an amount of that money from an accounting perspective that business and their accountant needs to put some sort of plan in place that whenever that money falls due, or whether it's installments over the 2 years as you're talking about, that is going to be due at some point. A plan needs to be put in place financially to be able to manage that.
That's right. And what we saw this year with tenants that were paying it back is that they paid it as a separate invoice, or they included it in the rent invoice. So a tenant would issue the standard invoice, and one of the elements of the invoice would be paying back of rent, of deferred rent, and it would be whatever figure it is. And that's generally how they accounted for it. And so, of course, tenants, your landlord will set out generally, if you have a good landlord, will set out exactly how much needs to be paid each month over 2 years. So it's the total deferred rent divided by 24 will give you the monthly, how much you'll need to pay back monthly. And once you divide it by 24, you'd be surprised. It's not as onerous as you can imagine. And yeah, it will allow you to pay it back over those 2 years.
Mm. And how much scope does the tenant and the landlord have in terms of adjusting that side of the contract, that side of the agreement? If the landlord, for example, you know, is extremely generous and said you can take 48 months if you'd like, can they make that adjustment to it?
Yeah, sure, great. It doesn't have to be 2 years. It can be longer if the parties agree. It just has to be a minimum of 2 years or the balance of the lease, whatever is greater. And on that point, what is quite interesting is the lease can actually continue past its set term to allow the tenant to pay back the rent, the deferred rent rather. So if the lease only had a year remaining on it, what happens is, and the tenant needed 2 years to pay back the rent, that lease is deemed to extend by an extra year to allow the tenant to pay back, which is quite a deviation from the normal leasing rules and laws. Yeah. So it's something else to consider and something you really should. I mean, all leases are different. And so you really should, if you've got any questions or concerns about that, say you wanted to, I don't know, relet the tenant to someone else, the tenancy to someone else, for instance, it's really worth getting that timely advice about how you go about terminating the lease and also taking into consideration the tenant and their rights under these regulations if they make an eligible application.
Because it can extend that end of lease date out beyond what's already been stated in your document.
That's right. That's right.
You have provided a lot of clarity around this, Stuart. I really do appreciate it. Are there any other elements of this that I haven't asked about?
Oh, look, I think we've touched on the main points. With these types of regulations and these acts, they're complicated, and it will really depend on your tenancy, your specific tenancy, as to the advice that's set out. And of course, this is general advice. So I reiterate, getting some legal advice as soon as you can is paramount here, especially because time is of the essence here. As soon as you can make a relevant application, the sooner you can access the rent relief.
And you can certainly help out anybody who has got questions around this. They may not have current legal advice within their stakeholders of their business. What's their next best step if people were interested to apply for this?
Yeah, so look, absolutely. You can contact our office. Julie can provide those details. You can ask for me or really anyone else in our property team can assist in these kinds of applications. And essentially, we'll go through the documents you have, give you advice on whether you can make an application or not. And if you can, we can guide you through the process of making that application.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. All the links are in the show notes. And so if you are a tenant or a landlord and you're listening to this and you want some more information, do go to the show notes and you can click wherever your interest lies. Thank you so much, Stuart. And I imagine we'll be speaking again in the future.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on, Julian. Thanks for all your listeners. And I look forward to hearing from them if they have any questions.
Fantastic. Good luck with the lockdown.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks so much.
Hey, if you enjoyed listening to this episode, you should join the club. The club members receive an online lunch and learn every week where I share insights, systems, and strategies to improve the success of your practice. These lunch and learns could not be easier. They are recording, so you can watch them at a time that suits you. Members also have full access to the library of all of our past topics. It is a powerful and effective way to upskill your team. I hope to see you there.